Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Mahaboy. Thank you very much for joining this special program, this conversation about Hasidus and Yutis Kislev. Yutis Kislev is the day when the Alter Rebbe not only went out of prison, but it's the Rosh Hashanah of Hasidus. We know famously that the Alter Rebbe read the Pasuk when he went out of prison. He read the Pasuk, Pater B'Shalom Nafshi. And the Pasuk is not only referring to the Alter Rebbe's personal going out of prison, but in general, every yid has this b'diah b'shalom. The Rebbe speaks about how a yid goes out of his own personal imprisonment, and he becomes free through chassidus. And so let's start out a little bit on that. What does it mean? What does it mean p'diah b'shalom? What does it mean that you go free through chassidus? And how is that? What does that look like today? Rabbi Gerari, can you start?
Thank you very much for inviting me to be part of this conversation, and to start by wishing everyone a good yontif and Lashana Teva Belimud Achsidus Bedarke Achsidus Tikaseva Vasechaseimo, as the traditional bracha is. So, as you mentioned, the Alter Rebbe, all the geulas, b'chlal, all the geulas of the Rabbeim, all connected with the pasuk Pada B'Shalom Nafshi, and as we know, the Mamorim are filled with different explanations, different angles of what it means. I suppose, in a nutshell, Pader B'Shalom Nafshi means that there is, on some level, there is the neshama, there's the yid, and there's a menagit, there's opposition, there's welt, there's the pulls and the challenges that come from Olam Hazeh, from this world that is Ma'ilim Mamastir, conceals the obviousness of Elokus. And it's our job to overcome that. And obviously, there's very different, there's many, many different ways, as the Rebbe explains in so many places. One way is to fight and to be b'derech milchama, but when there's a war, you might be menatzeach, you might win the war, but there's still opposition. And there's, of course, Pader B'Shalom. Pader B'Shalom, again, so many different madrigas I've spoken about, but essentially, Pader B'Shalom means transformation, where you're able to overcome that which stands in the way of Avodas Hashem, is particularly through the Limud of Siddhis and the ways of Siddhis, to that there shouldn't be any opposition. That should be an obvious thing. That Elokus should be, and Avodas Hashem should be something that's such an obvious thing. That's the only way. Ein Oid Mulvaden, and so on and so forth. Where it becomes more automatic. It becomes more transformative, with all the different levels, as we said. But that's, I think, the essence of what it's all about.
Thank you.
Can I bring you?
Sure.
I want to bring you down everything in a very hasty, salavidic way. In my experience, actually, I mean, the saying, I was in a place called prison. A prison is a place, a person cannot free himself. He has to have people from the outside to free yourself. So, in the Pedi B'Shalom, he's talking about there's a part of the neshama, it's a part of ourselves. A person finds himself in a problem, he feels trapped, he feels overwhelmed mentally, maybe emotionally. And if he's going to try from there, or if a person got involved with something, that he feels trapped and that's dragging him down, there's a part of himself that has never been touched by the experiences that we have down here. There's a part of ourselves that we know we have from tshuva that has never been part of any of the experiences we have down here. It's not bothered by any of it. If we access that part of ourselves that is free, then we can have a pel mamish. In other words, if a person finds himself in a problem, he's in a war. He has a this pulling him and that pulling him, and he wonders how is he going to get out of this thing. And he knows himself, his weaknesses, he knows himself, his encounters, he knows himself, everything that. So he feels trapped. And then so obviously he's supposed to go to a rabbi, so try to get help. But the part of B'Shalom Nafshi tells us that there's a part of us that was never impacted by our experience, and our trap, we're free. And if we live with that B'Shalom, we live B'Shalom, which means living. And what Meshach was saying about that level of neshama that's higher, which you can do, very practical through doing a mitzvah with giving openness, ibi geben kite. So then that part of the neshama kicks in, part of your daily living, and suddenly you're empowered to free yourself from the problem you have.
Can I just add a little nekuda to that? Just bring it back to Yitzchak Kisser, and because we say we give a bracha limud achsidus bedakeh achsidus.
L'chaim
bracha. There's a bavusta story with Alter Rebbe that someone once said to Alter Rebbe talking about another tzaddik who does mofsim and miracles and you know supernatural ideas. The Alter Rebbe said that Eretz Uvgehem na tefachecha, that the idea of miracles is lifting yourself one tefach higher than the world. And I lifted up the world 2,000 amos, because it's talking about the alefcha chochma, alefcha bina, and you know chabad, you know thing. In other words, that the this is what you're saying about finding the space where you're completely free. So yeah. One of the ways we do this is by limud achsidus. Limud achsidus, if we do it properly and we learn achsidus and we immerse ourselves in the learning of achsidus, achsidus heptuf, achsidus lifts a yid up to a whole nother level. And I guess that's what you're saying. It's like it lifts up to a whole nother level where the problem doesn't exist, where you
taste
freedom.
You speak to people and they feel that they're trapped. Of course, they can't find the words up yisechel. They can't find the word, the emotional kachas. And once you tell them, you tell yourself. Start with yourself. That mitzad ain't fact. You're in a crab. You're fighting with your nafshabambas. It's harder, and it's pulling you down. You got involved with something which is depressing, yeah. So pick it. Use the keich you have yourself. Use it as a party that's free. So don't feel trapped. Every time you do tshuva, I'm trying to unsophisticate it. Every time you do tshuva, what are you counting on? You're counting on the part that you connected to the Eibishter that's untouchable. That's the part. So use it for him now too. There's a part that was never impacted. Don't fill yourself down and use and grow and free yourself. That's a part of the show of Nafshi to me.
Okay. Let me try to take things a little bit more practical. A person is struggling with the sadness, depression. They have stress, anxiety. Your person has what they call an addiction. How is this relevant to them? How is this going to help them? I mean, you're speaking about Pod B'Sholem with the neshama, but a person dealing with everyday issues. How is this going to free them from that anxiety, that depression, or addiction, or whatever else it is?
Who are you directing the question to?
Ari, you can start.
So I want to make a little bit of a hakdama, if I can, just on that particular topic. We throw around terms like depression and anxiety. It's very important to define what we're talking about, or even addiction. And this goes both ways. What I mean by that is, obviously, we know we live in a world today where there's a lot of awareness. A lot of it is positive on mental health issues and so on and so forth. So I like to use a little expression that I once heard from someone. It depends if you're talking about depression with a big D or a small D, or anxiety with a big A and a small A. There are certain conditions that a person has which are real crises, real health issues, just like a person, chas v'shalom has a heart attack or suffers from a very big machla. Illness is an illness. An illness, obviously, everything, Torah mitzvahs always helps. And of course, we always have to strengthen Torah mitzvahs. That's the ikar keili to any bracha, but at the same time, when a person is sick, you got to go to a doctor. If a person has real depression, I'm talking about real depression, that's a clinical depression and anxiety or addiction, where they're just not able, they've almost lost their on some level, their choice, and they really suffering from a real illness, they need to seek professional help. But that's not the topic for today. But I think it's just important to clarify that. However, if you're talking about when this sometimes gets mixed up, when people just feel down, we all feel down, it's a normal part of human behavior. We feel depressed with a small d. We upset. We down. We're not, you know, or we worry, or we have tivus, right? A tivus is not an addiction. A tivus is a tiva, right? And it's very important that a person doesn't call their tiva an addiction, because addiction means like I can't help it. For most regular tivus of a normal human being, we can help it, and we help it by learning chassidus and following in the ways of chassidus. In other words, chassidus. I'm just trying to sort of go back to the wording of your question. What is it? How does it help a person free themselves, right? So if it's the normal type of human behavior, normal type of human challenges, We feel the atzvus, we have taivus, we're tempted to do the wrong thing, we're having conflict with other people, whatever the case is, right? So I think it's important to understand that Chassidus is not a self-help book, but, and that's, I think, the important nekuda. Chassidus was about serving Hashem, Chassidus is about Torah mitzvah, Chassidus is about achdus Hashem, and realizing there's only really one reality. However, it is absolutely clear, l'chayre, that if you learn Chassidus and you take Chassidus seriously, automatically what happens is you take the Eibishter Torah mitzvahs much more seriously, and you take your own self a little bit less seriously, because that's what Chassidus does. It teaches us a little bit about bittul and about giving ourselves over to the Eibishter, and about the tirekeit. Right, so important to understand. It's not a negative thing, Chassidus. It's about the tirekeit of going beyond myself and living a life filled with meaning by being connected to Torah mitzvahs, mitzvah meloshen tzavse v'chibur. So when a person is immersed in that frame of mind, obviously, we still have a nefesh abamis, we'll still have a struggle, but nevertheless, when you put yourself in the world of chassidus and you try a little bit, each person in their own way, in their own path, in their own level madrega, to just make their lives much more centered on a lakus, as we say, a lakus pepshittis, and understand the kavana is really about serving the Eibishter, and serving the Eibishter is brings the ultimate simcha and the ultimate connection. So obviously, b'derech hamela makes it easier to not have so many taivas, makes it easier to be besimcha. When you know that as little people, we have the schus, we have the amazing opportunity to be mamish connected to Eidran Sobar, so obviously it takes away from the whole, what do we have to be, what are we, if you look at, I think the best thing is to look at old chassidim. It's an interesting thing, the old chassidim in Russia, I mean, we have a contemporary chassid, Rav Shlomo Mordechai has a good example of this, but to go back to the Mendel Futterfass, all of a sudden, who lived with the greatest challenges and the greatest, the Shverekai and Shainka Dumase. And they were unbelievably happy people. Everyone ever saw Rav Mendel Futterfass sad? Whenever I met him, he was always happy. The Simcha Rabba, why? In fact, I once saw, if we can just bring it out. Exactly. Al-Mol Geshmeichel. I once saw, why? Because he lived in a different world. I'll tell you a little personal thing that I once noticed. There was someone that once made a video of Rav Mendel Futterfass, Rav Shmuel David Reichik, traveling in California, I think it was. And they were very different, each in their own way. Mamash Shaved Hashem, right? And one, there was no minion, there was a Chavarfen, they were there collecting a Maimon, whatever they were going for their Shlichasim. And Mendel Futterfass about to start davening, he takes off his tefillin, the Gita Kush, the tefillin. It's just such an amazing tzir. You saw a person, Ad Libzain Tefillin. He loves his tefillin, he loves the mitzvah. Look, when you live in that kind of frame of mind, what have you got to be sad about? I'm not saying we're still human people, or we're still normal, and we'll have any seriousness, but that's the mindset that we have to try and understand. That's the mindset that chassidus, by learning chassidus, and of course the lashon we're talking about Yitzchak Kislev is darkei chassidus. When we put ourselves we aspire at least to learn chassidus yedeinu lefin yonoi and go to the darkei chassidus. It transports us to a different world, takes away the worries, takes away. We talk about bitochen. We know we're in the hands of the Eibishter, and we have that schus to be connected to the Eibishter. So it b'derech mameila takes away being sad, right. Takes away worrying, yeah. Takes away anxiety on a normal level, as I've said before.
If you take, to me sometimes just if you take it just on the other, let's go the other way. That what you ask a person is depressed, is anxious. Why is he depressed? Why is he anxious? Is he sitting in jail with a 27-year sentence in high school? What's the anxiety? What's the depression? So it'll answer you. They'll say, well, they're depressed about how the life is going. Maybe let's take an example which we are discussing now. They visualize themselves in a different way. They have this drive that they know is wrong, and it's pulling them down, and they're depressed about it. Or they did something which actually they found out a part of them they don't like about themselves. There's so many different variables. We say guys exiled the press, you have to ask, is it specific? What about the Gishan? So let's take an example of a Pod B'Shalom Nafshi. So if a person finds out that they have an anxiety, they can't get off the internet, whatever they're doing. I just had an example today. I met with somebody today, yeah? Does that mean because they have this particular or specific, or they have this connection to the world in a way they can't get rid of, that they're a bad person, as somebody told them, that they're a person that until they get rid of that side of them, that what they're doing that they can't right now, does that mean that they're finished, they're no good, or does it mean that there's a part of them that's not connected to whatever they're involved with right now? So if they agree that there's a part of them that is dragged. Now, in words of Sid, there's never shulchan neshama, but this sounds sophisticated. I like to simplify things. There's a part of them that is in prison. The goof is in prison. But the ikin is there's a part that's not in prison. So how are you going to get out of your prison? So the answer is, there's a part of you that's not tainted. There's a part of you that is always good. You can't say, and therefore I can continue being in prison, a part of me. That means I have to use the part that I'm not in prison with. And I got to live with that part and use that keich. What's that keich? How do you access that keich? So it says, it means a part of me that whatever it is, I don't want to be separate from the Eibishter. So if I start thinking of myself that way, from there, I can now help access to pull myself, my seichel becomes clear, can get pulled out of it. I can find the energy that I need to actually heal myself. So the same idea, but you go to a person and say, you know, they did something that's unforgivable. Well, so if they feel that they're trapped, they try to find different ways to make themselves happy. But if you realize that there's an aspect of Pod B'Shalom Nafshi, there's a part of you that you can have a fight, but you come out of this in a peaceful fight, right? So where's that come from? So this then shows the person that yes, there is work to do on one part of me, but I'm not doomed to be in jail because I have a part of me that's free. I live like this every single day. So this is why this talks to me, and it's not talks to me. I push it, but you can push it. This is very real, down to earth, where a person could know that he has a taiva. You know, he has a certain. I'm not talking about taiva to eat. I'm talking about something which is also, and you know that he tangled with tumor, got involved with tumor, and that then tumor comes, depresses you. Why am I like this? That's the reason. There's a part of you that's not the yichidah shabenefer. There's a part of you that is untainted. It's free, actually. So start living with that. That's what you have to do. Start living with that, and automatically you'll become free. So this is how you can take away your depression. You have to say, I'm depressed. We're depressed. Some people get depressed because they had a bad coffee in the morning. You know, it's a big deal, small deal. Yeah, today, everything is trauma. If you're driving on the highway, and somebody passes you, it's a traumatic event. And it's a scar. If you're online for Starbucks for a coffee and somebody gets, he didn't go, it's Gandhi, we throw around words loosely, and therefore the conversation somehow gets skewed.
Just to be most of it, could have gone back to what you said before about that, you know, the part of the person is in the struggle, the part of the person is free, which obviously that sums up a lot of Chassidus, right? So I think that's important, because I want to go back to what I said before. It's important for any matzav, meaning even when there's a matzav, like you mentioned about internet addiction, maybe we differ a little bit on this, but there are times where you talk need a professional, not someone that had a 6 months course, but someone who's talking good and someone who knows how to help. And then, like, you know, you don't, if you learn Tanya, it doesn't help you for a heart attack. Brings bracha, but I'm saying the keli you need to be, right? Sometimes we do need, but I think even when a person is at a matzah where has a real addiction, where be intent or something else, or alcohol or whatever the case is, and he taka needs what we call professionals to help, but he still needs chassidus. In other words, not shetan. In other words, like we find in the Rebbe's letters, ribui otzim, and when the Rebbe talks about nyanim nafshim, we you know, emotional issues and anxiety and like that. So there are many, many times where it's clear that the Rebbe holds the person just needs a good dose of bitachim and the Nisla and Shara Bitochen, v'chulu v'chulu. There are letters, on the other hand, where the Rebbe is clear that you need to go to someone who's either a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Obviously, even that has to be done with Derech HaTorah, and that's a whole other sugya. But even then, it's clear that the Rebbe says at the same time, you need to still strengthen the Bitochen, you need to still strengthen the Kesher to Chassidus and Kiyum HaMitzvahs and so on and so forth. Why? Because even when a person, doesn't matter, even if you're going for a health issue to a doctor, or you're going to a professional for a real mental health issue, you still need that kesher. You still need to know that you could free yourself. You still need that hope. You still need that kesher to the Eibishter. So it's never, even when you need it, it's never a substitute for chassidus. It's chassidus is the bread and butter. Chassidus you always need, because you need a person go through sometimes a, not trauma about the coffee in the morning, but a person sometimes go through a real trauma. There is such a thing as real trauma.
It's a measure. You know,
let me just finish. So a person goes through sometimes a real trauma, and of course, maybe he needs help, but chassidus is definitely the yisod. Chassidus will be the yisod of giving him the idea that he's not the etzem trapped. A person is never trapped. No matter what they go through, a person is never the etzem in prison. There's always a part of the year, no matter even the most difficult things that we go through, even if it's mamish at the extreme end of a real issue, but a person be'etzim is never trapped. And that has to be always the yisod of healing and the yisod of getting better. How you get better? So sometimes you need other things as well, but the yisod always has to be that nakuda.
I'm sorry, Edmund, to interrupt. I want to say something. You know, you're talking about, let's say, you're talking professionals and all that. You're talking about maybe 3% of the problem. 5%. So everybody's always talking about that. 95%, 98% are not on that problematic. They just need to know the kechas hanefesh they have. They have to know they have enough for the keys. They have to know it's a table that makes a harder. Where things are coming from? Is it a goyish b'kir b'chol? Is it coming? That's most of the. We're talking to an elam here, where 95% of the ilm is not on that issue, yet we consume so much time and so much effort to discuss. Not Hashem, that's not important, those 3%. But what they try to do is take what the 2-3% is needed, or 5%. I'm not, don't have me by a number. I don't do, but it's definitely in the single digits. And then they try to say, okay, if that's there, then let's apply that type of healing to everybody, which is they're not there. That's not their problem. They have a healthy mind, they have a healthy, and it's in a sense, you could teach them the meaning of Meir Shalt Alev. I remember all the Habringers and Yiras Gislev. The Ikeim Chassidus is Meir Shalt Alev. And suddenly that's challenged today. That's challenged today. So why don't we move the discussion away from the those areas where yes La'ayin, how much is the professional is needed, how much this professional is needed. Let's go to talk about the 97% of the people that have a functioning heart, a functioning head. And let's use you say this of reality. The reality is a Meir Shalt Alev. It's not because it says in Tanya Meir Shalt Alev. It's a fact. As the other one, Meir Shalt Alev. There's an emotion, and that emotion can be controlled by a proper meichan that you're talking about, learning chassidus. Learning chassidus is not called the mitzvah of learning chassidus. I understand you, right? Learning chassidus means to ingest, to bring in the keich and the meich to be able to control the heart, and that is so they'll come. It's not we say that I'm a pshitus meir shalt alev. That's a contested area. In the sense that we have to bring back the discussion, the discussion is that you have nefesh gesh v'amas. My experience the last 2 years of one-on-one and teaching sight to men, sight to women, this whole idea that we have the eight to eight hours was to me is fundamental. Fundamental. So you get an idea in your head, where's it coming from? And to me, I missed a learning and experience. For me, it was a life-saving format. I get an idea that drives me to the, I'm a place called prison, the Chamon Aslan, when I was there. And I get these ideas that drive me to depression. I can't fall asleep. I'm challenged with depression, right? So I have to fight it back. I don't want to get depressed. I have to fight it back. So knowing that I have a Yetzer Hara, the first thing I ask myself, where is this thought coming from? right? Why am I asking the question? Because I have to label things. I'm not labeling anything. I won't know how to answer it. If I can identify it's coming from my left Shabbam Yitzhahara, then I know Barotzi Yitzhahara, Barotzi Tera Tavlin. So I have to think in terms of Tera to undo the Yitzhahara wants me to think the way he thinks in order for me to get to where he wants me to get to. I don't want to get there. I don't want to get depressed. I want to be happy. So I learn. And I understand, and I bring my thoughts of betachon to undo, and I think that way. So you talk to people about this in your Beitzei Yetzirah. Everybody today, not everybody, won't everybody. Today it's common. You get an idea. The idea is a part of a thought. How are you dealing with it? No, you know very well. There's no part of either it's kedusha or it's klipa. The question is klipa is nega, klipa is sozot meis. There's no part of. Others are tefas a kosher. Okay, so I'd like to say, if we brought back the conversation to the mainstream of issues that people are struggling with, I brought an example of a girl that's struggling with a heavy thing. I shouldn't mention addiction; they're struggling with it. But even there, I think there's yeshmakim lying. But let's bring the discussion back. So what you're teaching students every single day. Most of the students need simply direction to understand who they are, what makes them work, how it functions, where it takes you. And if you take it the way we professionals know from Tanya, yeah, let's see, from the Shai B'tochen, you'll see that this can give a person a healthy ability to have emotional health in every aspect of life.
So we're saying over here that the vast majority of people can turn to Chassidus for help with everyday issues. What if someone says that, look, I'm not, you mentioned your Mendel Futterfass before, you mentioned other great Chassidim, but I'm not up to that. I'm not holding there. I'm not, I'm just a regular person in 2022. What would you say to them?
You know, there's a letter of the Rebbe, a beautiful letter of the Rebbe. I mean, the Rebbe said it so many times, so many different ways, but there's a beautiful letter of the Rebbe where the Rebbe writes to an author. I don't know exactly the background, but the author was a Yiddish author, and he wrote a book about Chassidim from Amol, about Fabringens, about Shtetlach of Chassidus, and it was called, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was called Faganginim Yorim, something like that, about the past days. So Rebbe writes a letter, and he's very soft with him in the beginning. He said, I read your letter, and you captured this so beautifully, and it was Chavanogiat, and you know, the Rebbe built him up, like your mamish were, like the Varmkeit and the Chassidishkeit, your writing was very good, and you captured the whole thing. However, the Rebbe says, I have one very strong order. I'm not quoting verbatim, I'm just saying, listen, this is the teichen of the letter. The Rebbe says, I was very disappointed about the title of the book. As if implying that it's something of the past. You know, the Rebbe said many, many times, Friedrich Rebbe said, America is nicht anders. The Rebbe said many, many times, quoted it, and also said that Torah is nitzchis and Torah Shem Tov is nitzchis and so on. I think that's part of our whole issue today. I think we're in Derech Shvi. In fact, we have the opportunity to take the Nyanim of Chassidus and apply them not only to settings and to lifestyle and life experiences that was Amol, we have the opportunity to apply them to real life, to what it means today. Now, we talk and know that every door has only shyness and its own things. And of course, the Yiddish Adoris, we're not sitting like Remendel Butavas, et cetera, et cetera. So to give you an example, the Rebbe said, just a simple example, right? That I think the Rebbe told Reb Nissen, if I'm not mistaken, that yes, no, the Iskafi doesn't mean exactly the same things it used to mean. I'm all used to mean that if a Bachan Lubavitch got two cutlets, two meat cutleten, you would only eat one and leave it the other one. Okay, that's not Iskafi today. Doesn't mean iskafi doesn't apply, chas v'shalom, right? Aveiras ha'tefila applies, l'mid achsidus applies. Are we, in other words, the Rebbe says in that letter about faganginim demyur, and the Rebbe says, you'll tell me that it's much darker today, it's much more difficult, and this is, I think, this is written way before Gimel Tammuz, now, right? And people obviously say today it's even darker, and it's much more disconnected, and the challenges are big. The yeshlem and the challenges today, beruchnius, are attack infinitely bigger. So the Rebbe says in that letter like this, the Rebbe writes to this author, and if you tell me that it's darker, so it's one of two answers. Either you make a mistake, it's taka not darker, meretzachayim, And even in Timtzalema, the Rebbe says, if you're going to say that Taka is darker, so you have to believe that we have the koichas. We have to believe they have the koichas to apply chassidus because it's not.
That's such an important nekuda that you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like this. We have to know, and all pratim of chassidus. In other words, we have the koichas to apply to learn the concepts of chassidus. On my weekly thing, you know, I've said this many times that we concept chassidus means that first of all you have to learn the concepts to Moshe Haim. You have to learn them undiluted and understand the way they are at the biggest madrigas. That's how chassidus works. So we learn about bittul, and we learn about averis atfila, we learn about hisbonus, we learn about aver rab and aver tanugim and aver seteres, and we learn tani, all these things, right? And then we need to know that it's real. Something can be applied to every single day life. It can be applied to the way we serve the Eibishter, the way we overcome Yetzirah, the way we overcome everything that we have. In our own way, each person according to their own way, it could be for one person, Iskafi means to get up a little bit early to dance with the minion. It could be for some person, someone else. He eats less ice cream. I don't know. Whatever. Each person is in their own level, but we should never make the mistake, the fundamental mistake of thinking that was all good for chassidim that were in a big madrega, but it wasn't. Yeah, they were talking big chassidim in a big madrega. Rabbi David Aradake said at the end of his life, they asked him if he reached out Avas Hashem, and he couldn't deny it. He said, "Apsa Kitzel Gitan, yeah, it did affect me. Okay, that was a big chassid. And a chanami. But that doesn't mean we can't have the mindset of Avas Hashem. We can't learn about it and learn more and more about it. And it should affect us. It should chip away at our being. In other words, it should make our life a little bit different. There's no question that it's the Yisayda Haimunah in the whole journey of chassidus, so to speak, that it's something that is bringing Mashiach, and it's going all the way till Mashiach, and that we have to be able to apply it. If someone doesn't know exactly how to teach us the inyanim of Tanya and chassidus, and how to maybe translate it in their own lives, they have to talk to Asel Charav, have to talk to Mashpia, whatever the case is, to know how exactly in their particular signet. You know, and it could be, I mean, there's a famous yichidus that Rebbe had with someone who I don't think he was in particularly from. And or definitely wasn't anywhere near chassidus. And he asked the Rebbe if I can be called your chassid, right? Famous idea. And the Rebbe said, anyone who goes to sleep at night and makes a decision that tomorrow will be different than today, I'm proud to call him my chassid. In other words, chassidus is about achdus Hashem. It's about making the Eibishter real, which means in my life, it means I have to make a move towards that every day. Every day, as we become closer and closer to the Eibishter, for every person it means something different, but it does mean developing our shkofa. And a mindset and a reality in a sort of an avir where we make the Eibishter the center of our lives. That's what chassidus is all about. We understand that the whole world is really nothing, and it's all part of the Eibishter's reality. And then we make our move in each person, our own madrega, towards that. Right. So I think there's a famous Vati say mashpirim. There's three things, right? Mashke makes you shikr, and money makes you meshugah. Chassidus makes you edel. So I think that sometimes we have to remember that word, because they say if you drank mashke, you didn't get shikr, you have to drink more. If you have money, you're not meshugah, you don't have enough money. So chassidus is the same thing. If you learn chassidus didn't affect you, and you don't see what it has to do with you, you have to learn more chassidus. Not chas v'shalom less. You have to learn more and immerse yourself in it, each person according to their own madrega, and then see how it can change your life, and it could change your life. But to think that chas v'shalom it's different today, goes against the real fundamental of what chassidus is. The whole idea was to take chassidus today even deeper and to take it and apply it even to places where maybe in previous generations it couldn't be applied. They didn't live in such choshech. We talk of living in a tachan shein tach lamate medne, riddle lamate bo'aretz, as the Rebbe says in the Yishrat Mamorim. So that's, and the thing is, each person has to know how to apply the concepts are all nitzchi. Sometimes the application of the concept is different for me than a mendel foot of us, okay? For a chassid in Lubavitch, it means he only ate one cutlet. For me, it's something else. But the concept is 100%. The concepts are absolutely eternal. It's part of Torah Hinitzchis.
I'd like to say it this way. In the story of, the famous story of Menachem Pinchas with a diamond, with the crown jewel. But yes, Shalom Lashi, the skist of the famous story, Pinchas Karatzim. He saw the chassidus on the floor and he got very angry. And the famous marshal about that the king had a diamond, and that's the only way to save the prince. And they tried everything else, it didn't work. And finally, the king was willing to take out the crown jewel that affected the whole. I be the prince should be saved and be alive. and the doctor says, well, what are you talking about? It may not help you now, but to be a little go in is a bit lame. So everybody always looks at this story as the mile of a father to a child, that he's willing to give up his crown. And that story, Takira Pinchas was, he was worried about how the Abish is taking the Abish's tater, the piece of tater, and you're throwing it around. What are you doing here? So the Atarab explains him. It's the reason as the Abish is okay with it, because he wants to save the Yiddish folk. But from we listen to the story, there's another part. We're the prince. In this story, the prince means, in order for us to become healing, we have to take in a little bit of the from the Kesar HaMelech. You have to take a little bit in. Now, there's a big difference. By the way, I heard this, and I heard this from Habrengen, and the Yud, the Rebbe said, if you're using anything else other than Primus HaTele to find emotional health or health for the for the generation, is the ganze union from Farad Zeraibim, the Lossig Ben Abgornish. I think I once called you about it. I think I sent it to you. And it was shocking to me, that union that we're looking. So the prince, we have to take in the Primus HaTele, the Chassidus, from the Kesar HaMelech. And here lies the thing, I think, the difference between you swimming in water or you drinking water. A person can be swimming in water, he's totally immersed in it, head to toe. But if he doesn't take it in, he got in it. And if he drinks a little bit, that's always healed. So if you're talking about your food, you're talking about the belt, the ocean of the Mayonis Chutzah, the amount of siddhis that is today in the Sikhs of Morim and all the form that have been printed over the years since I was a Bacher. So maybe look at the Shafa, how it grew. I once saw the proud owner at 15 years old of the whole library from Kohos, and it was nothing to compare what's today. So we're swimming in Chassidus, and it's translated, and you have tremendous ability to bring down Yon Chassidus into our level. Yeah, the story is teaching us. This is what I think Michal was saying. You have to partially take it in. Everybody got used to the word internalizing. You know what internalizing means? Internalizing means if you have a problem, you have an issue, you have your challenge, right? And that challenge is affecting your emotional health. It's affecting the way you feel. And you feel up, you feel down, you feel whatever it is. When's the last time you had such a thing? Did you look into Chassidus and find out what's up to Tater about how to heal it? How does Tater understand the situation and then use it successfully? Well, that's internalizing it. Internalizing it, got used to very good English, even when I went to Alteda. My English is still Alteda the Kabissel. But internalizing means using it, quenching your thirst. It means I had a good day today. Do I think Kechivetzim Yodi or do I think about Einim Levadi? That's a question. If I had a bad day today, do I think about the Inn of Nesoyen and Bittel and Betochem, or do I rather think someone's wrong and I got to go to the next health book over there in Barnes Noble? That's the question. Well, what are we using, and what are we using to run our lives? And that's what internalizing means. And that's the story of Yutus Kislev. There's Evan HaMelech, and it's such powerful medicine that even if a drop goes in, we'll be healed. And we have to be smart enough to open our mouth and use it. And if you're talking about Chassidim, I'll agree to you, you don't see Chassidim that we saw before. But we do see plenty of younger light and plenty of Baruch Hashem Yisrael that are using Chassidim and are using Chassidim successfully and are running a peaceful life. The Ruyukait and the Hanafas and Rahim, you see by a year that's taking in the waters of Chassidus, match him up to any other guy that's taking not Kesar HaMelech. And I venture to tell you, and I'm sure, what you will see by I'm not, so we're not like plentiful to find. We don't have to. My father had always a saying, if you don't have it, means you don't need it. I mean, but the point is, I say it a little bit differently. I use this if chassidus can help people in Russia under the dire, under the most extreme conditions, to remain connected to the Eibishter, so Baruch Hashem, we're not under dire conditions, but there has to be something that we can use. If chassidus can help a guy mental fortified be happy, if this can help a person like my father, I mean, this is all this generation, go through life and have a healthy attitude, not become depressed and lost, and be productive lives, seeing a war. So, we don't see a war, but it has to be something that we can use. Where do we get this idea that we can't use if I can? So we don't have to take gulps, take a little drop. So that's the way I would, if I could add something, that's what my idea.
Okay. One of the kindness you hear people have is that Chassidus doesn't address directly the issues that they have. A person has issues in the business and shalom bayis and all types of nisyonis, whatever it is. And you go over Barnes & Noble's self-help book. So you have a book on the topic and it explains everything step by step. And you open up a Sefer Chassidus and you don't see those issues addressed there. So how do you, let's say someone does want to, they're maskim and they say that Chassidus is the answer, but the tshuva, Tanya is the tshuva, the tshuva is the chol ha-shailas. But how do they actually go about doing that? How do they find the answer to their particular issue in Chassidus?
So can I jump in a little bit? I'm very passionate about this topic. First of all, Chassidus is not a self-help book. Chassidus doesn't tell you, you know, when you come home at night, your wife says this, you should say like this. If your husband says this, this is what you do. No, that's not what Chassidus is about. Chassidus is about avekshtelling the person in a whole different frame of mind. And when you do that, then b'derech hameila, a lot of things fall into place. That doesn't mean on practical practice. Sometimes a person needs practical advice, so that's why you have a mashpia. You go, you should title list. What does it mean practically? But it's not supposed to be that. So I want to just address, because you talked about and again, this is not the same discussion as before. This is talking about now people conflating and confusing chassidus with self-help. It's very important to understand that especially the more modern self-help book, I don't know what you were talking about before, I guess some publishing company, but the self-help books that is going around, the self-help sprach that is around today, and I'm not talking about mental health issues now, there's a whole nother sugya. People just want to, you know, talk about relationships and shalom bayis issues and so on and so forth, creating boundaries and all these other
raising children also.
All these things, right? So there's such an unbelievable chiluk be'ein ha'roich, an infinite distance between the way it's approached, especially recently, and the way it's approached al piteir and al piksidus befrat. The very word self-help is already gives it away. It's about self. How can I make myself better? The holy yisod of chassidus is to move away from self. Right now, that's a fundamental difference. Now, I know people get very nervous when we talk about that because, you know, you're not supposed to be a shmata, and I'll bring you rayas from chassidus and from sichas and so on and so forth. But it's not about being a shmata. It's about being higher. It's about being not yourself. It's about being part of something much greater than yourself. Becoming, like you see, again, you talk about, you see the old chassidim, they were such happy people. They were mamash bittel dike yidden, and they spoke about bittel, and they put down themselves a lot of the times, and they were very happy. It didn't make them negative at all, right? And certainly it shouldn't be about making someone else feel bad. It's not about putting other people down. Fakir. Shlomo Aruch was talking about understanding the neshama, understanding the tirkeit of a yid, and we're a prince, and so on and so forth. But it certainly means, like, again, going back to the previous discussion about applying chassidus today, right? Bittel is a fundamental concept in chassidus, for example, right? And it's something we should be talking about and talking about much more. We should talk about all the time because it is such a fundamental concept. Talked about in chassidus, and by the Rebbe, in fact, he took it even deeper. Not, he didn't make it less, he made it more. If you look at the Rebbe's memoriam on a haskolodic level, you'll see the Rebbe talks about dargis, levels of bittel that was never spoken about before chassidus. I mean, talk about the Maimer of Margaret of Pumadrova, for example, where the Rebbe talks about mamish, about a yid being not even any tziur, even a tziur of Torah mitzvah, just mamish, nothing. He's just there to serve the Eibishter, right? Et cetera, et cetera. So chassidus wasn't there to give you practical aids of how to raise your children or how to shalom bais. I mean, there are practical things. There's many, many letters of the Rebbe's on this topic. and we need to do these topics also Alpi Torah, of course, but it only works if you have the foundation. When you have the foundation of Chassidus, where you move away from self and you're ready to give yourself up for someone else, for something else, then a lot of these problems are preventable, right? When you talked about Shalom Bayis, one of the biggest problems today in Shalom Bayis is that people are so absorbed in themselves. We live in a very self-absorbed world and a very self-centered world that people find it very hard to give them to be mevater, to give up for someone else, to noch geben, to right. When you don't need to go to a course to tell you that, you know, it's a good idea once in a while you have to compromise. If you learn Chassidus, it's v'derech ha'melech. Your needs become less. Your needs become less. Your focus on self becomes less. Now, the lack of focus on the foundation of Chassidus is bittul. Now, does that mean that you don't have to take care of yourself? Of course, I'm all that mizuch opruin, and we need something, we need to have it. Of course, we need to take care of ourselves. Nishmar tovei nafshe seichel, we spoke about this before, is a mitzvah in the Torah, etc., etc. But what's the yisod? What's the foundation? The foundation is it's not about me. In today's world, the foundation is it is about me. And sometimes the strategies are even good, but it's all about me. It's about making me better. This is a chiluk ikre, fundamental difference between Chassidus and about modern self-help. Does that mean we shouldn't have courses on chinuch? No, of course we should. Does that mean we shouldn't have courses on shalom bayis? We definitely should. But it should be al pi Torah. It should be with the proper yisod. It should be taking the yisodus of Tanya, taking the yisodus of Chassidus. That whole foundation of we're not about ourselves. And then some people need to be tight shluis. You need to tight shluis. What does it mean? So how does it play out on a practical level? We have a machlekes. This one says this. I said this. How do we solve it? But the solutions and the strategies and the practical etzes, which are all very important. And you find the Rebbe giving in chinuch particularly, the Rebbe giving a lot, even in shalom bayis, the Rebbe gives a lot, right? And mashpiim talk about it. But it always has to be with the foundation of it's not about me. It's about the Eibishter. But what does the Eibishter want from me? What is the Eibishter? How does the Eibishter want me to serve him? And then help me out now. I've got that yisod. I've learned chassidus. I'm trying to apply that. I'm just going to someone who has the same mindset and asking now, just do me a favor and give me a little bit of etzes. How to translate a practice? Okay, there's not a problem. That's fine. And that should be. And we should be having more discussions than that. And I think maybe today we have to have more because we have a big problem today. I mean, we see that relationships break down and all these things like that, but it comes from a bit of an akuda of this whole generation is a very, we building a very weak and self-centered people. That's why Chassidus is even more important today. The whole akuda of bittul, but that has to be the yisod. You're not going to find, you don't start by looking for practical etzes. You start by building a yisod. That yisod is Chassidus. Then you don't know how to tie shirois in every part of your life. Look, you read letters, you go to a mashpia, you go to a chassidish discussion about it, you go to someone who's al pi Torah, can lead that discussion, and then you apply it practically. I hope that clears it up a little bit. I don't know, that's why.
It seems that people are almost looking for, they prefer the self-help books because they don't want to be in the battle themselves. It's much more difficult to, you know, so the self-help, it kind of lets you be yourself and have your yesh, return correct. Your yeshes.
However, little... this is what we need to try. It's Yutus Kislev, right? So we have to say L'chaim and talk about this. We have to clarify a couple of things here. First of all, even selfishly, by the way, we know that Taka, bittul is hard work, shtovas tereng. Nowadays, befrat, it's a very me world. Bittul is hard work. Nowhere in Chassidus does it promise you it's going to be easy. It's Aveda. It's called Aveda for a reason. Aveda means ibud oiras. It means hard work, right? However, if you want to even talk about grubgiret, talk about selfishly, what brings bigger simcha? We know that the Rebbe's Amarim, particularly Chai Sora, is always Amarim about bittul brings simcha, right? In other words, at the end of the day, a person who's absorbed and trapped in themselves cannot be really happy, and ultimately cannot be successful in all the inyanim of life. Because once you're stuck in yourself, you're stuck in yourself. You can read as much books as you want, but if you're stuck in yourself, look what's going on today. We have thousands of self-help books, and it's the most miserable generation. We have so many things. We have so much gashmias. We have so much what we need. We have technology at our fingertips. We have so many things. L'chayr, we should be the happiest people. And this is a generation where happiness is at its all-time low because the foundations are missing, right? The yisodus are missing. The yisodus of moving away from self. And also sometimes it's misunderstood. Some people say moving away from self is like always seen as a negative thing. Like I'm nothing and I'm a shmata. No. you know, just sort of Fabrengen this morning, I was listening to Fabrengen on my Shver, he talks about a very posh thing, but he brings it out beautifully. And he says, you know, person listen, we have a nefesh abamish, we have a nefesh lekis, we have a neshama, we have a guf. And Tanya talks very harsh terms about the guf and the nefesh abamish, right? And then prokim there before Lamed Beis, right? So he brought it out, he said it very nicely. You have to know that he talked about your guf. Your guf's a shtickle nevela, that's what it is. It's a garnish, right? The only thing is, what's ksidus? Ksidus is about bringing the neshama into the guf. When the neshama comes into the guf and it starts to give the guf chayas, all of a sudden the guf becomes an important thing. It becomes a vehicle of Torah mitzvahs. Bittul is not about I'm nothing, because who's the I? Yeah, on a conscious level, Tanya says that we're not like Hillel, so we nefesh abamis. But later on, Tanya says that Pnimius, a yid's I is the neshama, nefesh lakis is his nitzitz laki, it's his connection to the Eibishter. Fakir, the bittul is about being mevatel. But when we say going away from self, we don't mean going away from the neshama chas v'shalom. We mean going away from the yeshus that comes in the nefesh abamis. And when we break that, even in the harshest terms, like it says in Tanya, it's not about fakert. The real me comes out. The more, but the real me is the Eibishter. The real me is my neshama, my nefesh lakis, the chelik lakami mal mamish. And the real me comes out. Not only I'm not nothing, I'm fakert. I'm part of the great. I'm part of the Ein Sof. I'm part of the infinity of the Eibishter. Which means I can accomplish more, I can do more, I can be mekarev nachayidin, I can learn more, I can daven more, I can do so much more in the area of Avedas Hashem, and therefore and I'm happier. Again, going back to the old chassidim, the happiest people. They talked about bittul all day and all night, and they were the happiest people.
Right. So
I heard that I was learning that Vamachos last week, and he brings over there an interesting definition for bitl. It's not used much. He says it's for ibig gebenkeit. He quotes Teder Shalom.
Ibig gebenkeit
can only bring you in battle yourself. So when you ibig geben to somebody, and this is say in a worldly place, when you ibig geben somebody, talking about Shalom Bayis, so you ibig geben to your spouse, you're not getting weaker, you're getting stronger, because then your spouse is given to you. Now you have a unit made out of two. In davening, you say, ha'oiz v'ha'anova. Oiz is starkeit, anova is doch bittl. Anov. Zokman, oiz and anova goes together. Punkt verkehrt. Oiz v'ha'anova means when you want oiz, when you want to be stark, zay anov, because anov allows you to connect to keches higher than you, and now you can absorb higher keches. Bittul is the first of the bittul most of. I once came into 770, as I look back in the sikh, I was younger man, I thought it was, and the Rebbe was Chai Nissen, the Rebbe's father's, Chai Nissen. So he was talking about his father, Rebbe Yitzchak, and about his Mesiris Nefesh, to make sure that the matzah were kosher. The whole story, he's talking to the Tzivus Hashem, the Rebbe was talking to Hashem, and he's explaining the Starkeit. He went to the Kremlin, and he went to the fight for it, and they got it. And you know, listening to it, just remember that this is one of those memories that you haven't had a big effect on me listening to it. It sounded like the Rebbe was extolling the virtues and the strengths of his father, that he was a strong character person, and he was able to overcome the mighty Communist Party, and he fought it. And then you heard the Rebbe say, it's not that he felt strong and empowered, because he was doing Ratzon Hashem, so he connects that to the Eibishter, and when he connects that to the Eibishter, they have all the keches he wants to have. The Rebbe shifted, it may be clarified, that he wasn't talking about, we're talking about a person wants to be empowered. And it goes back to where we started the conversation. You want to be empowered. How much power do you have? At the end of the day, how much power do you have? Yeah? But what happens if you're allowed to be something connected to the Eibishter, to the Torah mitzvahs? And the bittul means you give yourself place to connect, the Eibishter is coming to you, because the Eibishter can only be to that which is bottle. But Meila, you're not giving anything up, fakert, you get a greater strength than before. So in any sikh you learn from, Yitzchok is the Indian from Yireh. So the bittul there made him a bigger keyach, because he was able to do, he was able to avoid the klipas from plishtim, right? So it's not tight when you're mevatel yourself, You're giving up. You're giving up of your yashas, of thinking that that's why Ramchal is talking about Eni Levada. Eni Levada is very practical. Eni Levada means there's only Abish. There's only Abish to wake up, smell the coffee, and understand that there's only one that sees Abish there. And if you're going to try to go somewhere else, you're going to hit a brick wall somewhere because it's not true. There's only one Abishter. It's not you that's assigning one Abishter. The fact of life is there's only one Abishter. So the smart guy understands only one Abishter. So what does he do? Pashteter, he wants to accomplish. Muzer gave him the Kechel Abishter. Muzer hotel not mitzvah. Muzer hotel that's not beta. And then better the shtak's the zach. So this is one of the, that's why he's a smart Ibn Gevenkite. Ibn Gevenkite means, everybody can picture in their mind. Now this ibrigem some rab, this ibrigem the hosta sachmal keches, right? This ibrigem, that's the word. So bittel doesn't mean. So by the way, that's one point. I want to say another point. I was baruch Hashem shlichus for a year in Atlanta, and I went to Emory College there. And one time I bumped into a bunch of missionaries. So I because I miss my eyeing givers in the ganze sugya. Missionaries come with Tarayas and whatever. So I read something very interesting about this how they work, and maybe I heard it from J.J. Hechtos. I don't know. That's just a while ago. But the Nakuda is there's no question that the missionary asks today that wasn't asked and answered already, and they know the answer. And the only reason they're throwing psukim at you is not because they think they found the pasaraya shteiteg is who was when it means this, it means that. They know that the answer, they know that what they're saying is not true. So why do they do? They're looking for a guy that doesn't know the answer, and that's what they're saying. And the second you give them the answer, they're gone. Mamish, I saw it. One time they came over there. So I got up in front of all the students. I started giving them. They realized they talked to somebody. You know something? They went for the hills. Yeah, because they know it's not like they're coming. So you I'm just listening to the Mechol. Yeah. There's no question in emotional health that wasn't asked and answered already. It's not Taich. We have to figure out. We have a problem today. How do you take chassidus and apply and get emotional health? This is a question. This is already since this came out. This is Primus Atele, Rachman Liba Boy. The Liba Boy is a healthy heart. So he keeps on quoting answers from the Rebbe. What does he say? What he's saying is there's no question that was answered about depression, about anxiety, and that sometimes it's a simple need for betochen, sometimes it's a need and have to go somewhere with betochen. These questions have been asked, have been answered. So why are we again asked the question? Why? For the same reason. They're hoping you don't know the answer. Best domain and abazelig the answer, and that to shift you away from the waters, from the living waters of Teira, and bring you to the Beiris Nishborim. That won't give you nothing. That's what they're trying to do. Because if you speak to anybody that has a stickle idea. Any shliach, any rov, any mashpia, a shtikel yedi in keches hanefesh, in tanya chassidus, he'll clearly give you an answer. And if he doesn't know it, he'll give you somebody who doesn't know it. So everybody, how can they keep on saying niton? Because for the guy, it's actually to the guy who doesn't know the question was asked and answered. Mate, wow, is a question of who damfer? I wanted to put that into the conversation. Remchol, what do you think that I can thank?
Good masculine.
Yes, Maskin. Okay.
I got you just a one more point.
Yeah, the moment I'm at Amper for yeah, I'm in there. You ever speak to somebody who has additional knowledge in it and doesn't have an answer? He has an answer. But they keep on saying because they're trying to find people that don't know there's an answer and that they buy into something they shouldn't buy into. And it's Beiris Nishborim. It's Beiris Nishborim. You're talking to somebody, I was through Gehenna and back, you understand? And the only way I survived, because I tackled, drank from the waters of Teira, the Emes. Ibn Ayid, I had the Emes, and that's the way I was able to survive. I can talk to you from Teira tomorrow about experiences that you would label traumatic. And I talk about it. Why is it not trauma? But okay, maybe it's a whole different sugya. I don't know how much time we have on this thing. But why? because I took it like I understood what I'm going through as a yid. That, not that it wasn't painful, not that I didn't understand where I was in, what was happening to me, that the damage and losses, but I was able to use from the Mayim Chaim of Torah and the Chesek from the Eibush that I attack had a bittle to you, that Evi does a bittle to, and use it for the matzav I was in, which is mamish. You're talking about dirib tachtein and shein tachl matnei menu. It's tachna shib tachtein. And how to live with it? So if this can work for a place like that, okay.
I got one more Indian that Regrar, you mentioned earlier about siddhis and self-help. So you have maybe some people who claim that siddhis doesn't have answers, but then you have at the other end, you have those who claim that siddhis, they're kiviyachol promoting siddhis. Siddhis is very good, but they're promoting it as a self-help manual. So they find all types of remazim and words, and that becomes a whole, that becomes, Gila, we found self-help and chassidus, self-care and self-love and all types of inyanim. I just want to, one example recently, there's a famous podcast, the Headlines podcast, and he quotes, so there he quotes a maimer in the Kutat Torah, the Ke'ilu, the Alter Rebbe speaks about the importance of self-love. This is what he says. So I'm very interested to know, what does the Alter Rebbe say? I look at the Maimer, let me tell you, Alter Rebbe's talking about tshuva and returning to yourself. But what type of self are you talking about? He's talking about returning to the Eidishter, to the etzim of who a Yid is, one of the Maimer says that you have to do Shetzarech Limser and Afshei Be'echad. That's the Hemshah Tengyanim over there in the Maimer. So we have a problem where people are Ke'ilu promoting Chassidus, and we have to find all our answers in Chassidus, but then it becomes diverted. It becomes the Chassidus tells us how all these secular and modern self-help ideas. I'm wondering what you.
So I don't have any tainus to that podcast you mentioned, because I don't think he considers himself someone who's an expert in Chassidus, but a lot of, you know. But I think it's extremely dangerous that that's happening within Chassidus. It's a very dangerous thing. I think it's sometimes people think that in order for it to be, I'll answer like this. I give a weekly shiur. This is more on shlichus and it's more on this. The people are not yet, and it's. It's called personal growth. That's what it's called. The shiur is called personal growth. I use the oasis that will be good for them, and it attracts people. Don't even go to shiur, yeshul, and then kippur, some of them, v'chulun. My idea is to introduce ideas of Torah. But even though I never do that, with all the self-help concepts of I might use the terminology, which I'm, maybe for good or for bad, but I'm a little bit familiar with. I'll use that terminology, but they know that I will challenge it. In other words, talking about creating boundaries, for example, that's a very popular thing today, creating boundaries as a protection of self, right? I found that even to an audience that is completely, I found that even in an audience that's completely kaviyochel distant yet, at least they're not yet connected, mamash boi from goli, to thing, if you give them a proper Torah perspective, It is very niskabel, and they get it if you explain it properly. Lately in the shiur, I gave it I just want to bring out the point. I gave a shiur. There's a book, and that's a very beautiful thing about someone that came to cure the anxiety through doing Tanya, etc. And in the book, the author describes the idea of bittul. And I gave the shiur a little bit on the book because it's a book that people are reading, and then it's a bit self-helpish and so on and so forth. But it's kaviyochel based on Tanya. And she talks about bittul in the book. And Taitch's bittul like this, that she discovered this a gewaldic idea called bittul. She said that bittul means that not everything is about me. So she said, I had to make that shift about everything is about me to not everything is about me. So if you think slowly what that means, right? That's not what it says in Chassidus at all. Right? The Taitch of bittul in Chassidus is nothing is about me. Not it's not a shift from I'm not going to be self-centered. I'm going to be a little bit not self-centered. You know, like a little bit. I'm going to understand not everything's about me, right? I'm saying that, and I experimented on this audience, and I gave them a whole shiur about bittul. But with the hagdama that you have to first develop a hashkafa, and I'm not saying we all. I haven't reached that madrega. You won't reach that madrega. But then I gave a dugmo, I said, how we can apply it to ourselves and each person. And I spoke about Shmiras HaMitzvah, they can take on a mitzvah. And for them, that will be their expression of bittul. And so even something they don't understand and they don't, you know. Today, it's very, very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous to take the, and sorry, when just going back to that shir. Even then, even though I try to give the hashkafa in on what they call modern and relevant issues, I try to give it al-pi chassidus, I never call the shir chassidus. Because I don't want even them to make a mistake. That chassidus is about self-help. Chassidus is not about self-help. And I think it's very, very dangerous that the exact opposite is happening today, that people are taking the concepts that they're comfortable with, the concepts that they think people will like to hear, very much about self-actualization, self-love, unconditional self-love, and so on and so forth, and somehow finding makaris and touching into chassidus. Take something, for example, like self-love, that mistake, which is completely right. It is a tohus yisoidi. It's impossible. I don't know how you can learn Tanya, for example, and say that everything about me is good. Everything about me is good. I don't know. The Tanya I learned says that the yeshus about my nefesh b'amis is b'feirish, not good. It's a hell of a hester and a lakus, and it has to be in his battle. Does that mean I'm bad? Does that mean I'm shmata? No. Like we spoke about before, of Shalom Chabura very beautifully. Okay, it means removing. Yeah, is potentially the nefesh habamis good? Yes, but not the yeshus nefesh habamis. You know, nefesh habamis, yeshus is like a molek, shviros and zuit akonosan. I don't know, there's no way to be mileage. You can't be mile yeshus. Yeshus is a hell of a hester and a lakus. Yeah, there's obviously idea of ayigba liba b'dark Hashem and so on, all these details. But the cholos we learn in so many places that yeshus is, especially in Morim around Purim time, the yeshus is a treifazach. We all have that and we have to battle it. Is everything about me good? No, the Rebbe used to speak to kids, Lamosha. I think maybe, you know, Shlomo Aruch talked about before, about the Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Tov. I think maybe we need to go back to learning the Sichas, the Rebbe, Yetzer Kinder. Basics of Yiddishkeit. It's not Yetzer Tov, it's not Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara needs to, you have to send him from Shikn Pfeifen. Not those days exactly, but the Yetzer Tov, you know, if you listen to Yetzer Tov, you must not listen to Yetzer Hara. Self-love needs to be broken down. What is self-love? Of course, like you say, you have to love yourself because you have to love the lakus that's in you. And you have to know that the Eibishter gives you the nothing that we are, the nothing that I am. The Eibishter says that you can make a derev tachteinim. You can be connected to me. It's an unbelievable gift. We stuck a mamash garnish, but you can tuck it, but you, this garnish, can mamash be dovet to the Eibishter. It's unbelievable, right? But that's very different Aesias than using modern Aesias and touching into chassidus. It is a very dangerous, unfortunately, I think it's extremely dangerous. And it's a distortion of chassidus. It's not what chassidus is. Does that mean that there aren't other challenges that need to be addressed today? I think we need to talk about this. There are. People do have challenges that for example, you said a mashpia and yeshiva. Not every bocha that comes to yeshiva has the yisoidus of this and can do it automatically. And sometimes they're coming, you know, with issues and complexities that maybe if they had the yisoidus, wouldn't be there, but they don't have the yisoidus. And I guess what we do need to learn, and I'll say this, bring us to the conversation, like you said, we do need to learn, of course, that we need to understand how learning chassidus, true chassidus, proper chassidus, can be really the refuah and bring real simcha for you know, and bring that inner calmness and that simcha and serving the Eibishter and so on and so forth. But what we shouldn't do also is be dismissive. I think that's what some people find difficult. They find difficult that they do raise a challenge that they have, and even if it's a challenge that they shouldn't have. And if they were really learning chassidus, have these sodas that they wouldn't have. And it's just some, you know, a little anxiety or a little yeshus or into themselves and just a misunderstanding. And therefore they have these problems. I guess nowadays we have a shvach ador, but we shouldn't do, you know, it's like the Rebbe says, for example, that, you know, small doichim in makarevis, today we have to be more yimin. So I think the same thing when people bring up, we have to give them the undiluted product of chassidus. But maybe Amol, we could say, maybe that doesn't work today. We have to a little bit be more understanding and not dismissive. But not dismissive doesn't mean not dismissive and therefore to start redoing Torah. Not dismissive, in other words, the tzugang has to be a little bit different. The tzugang has to be more with kiruv and understanding. I understand you have that problem and let's talk about it. But then the answer has to be, at the end of the day, the same answer. Torah is nitzchis. And showing them how they can apply that nitzchis ha-Torah, but not to change chassidus and change the terminology of chassidus and bring foreign and fremde zachim which are Hepach HaTorah, and somehow find a way to touch the voice into the Mamorim. That's extremely dangerous. But I'm bringing that up because I think that's what people confuse. People confuse the two issues. People confuse that they sometimes feel dismissed. And I've heard this in Baruchim. I've spoken to Baruchim about this. And they feel they were dismissed and they were there. And therefore the answer is, well, then let's change the law. No, they're two separate things. The answer is that someone needs to listen to you a bit better. In the Harami, someone needs to not put you down right away. I get that. In the Harami. But the answer you need is not different to the answer in the previous story. Apply it a little bit differently, maybe, but the answer is truth to this. And that's what we have to try and strengthen around you. Discuss the big
problem.
I think we started out. If somebody's quoting you a Maimed, and that's where he learned it, and didn't, he didn't understand it, I'm sure he didn't do it in a bad way. I didn't understand. At least, MS is if you're learning Taylor, and you make a claim of a pshat, then there's a constant buruminu. You can't say, how can you say this? It doesn't follow what it says there. So in an honest discussion, you'll have to come to either a adjustment and understanding from the first one to make it work. So, but that's a healthy conversation if there is a conversation. At least the conversation is within the Maim Chaim. It's within the Torah. I think the bigger danger is when you Aisvi Ozu and you went to look for Beresh Bodim. I think that's anything that's not the way it should be set over properly has its danger. But I think it's a less of a danger when you're referencing a Maimon. And then you see something, you say, okay, how can you pshat? You have to learn pshat over there. As long as honest conversations, I think it's less of a danger.
On one hand, it's less of a danger. On the other hand, it's a little bit more dangerous because...
Yeah, I think it's more dangerous, actually.
Sources, yeah. Realize, someone who's faithful to the sources will realize that we don't do that. We don't go for self-help books. We go for siddhis. When Rosh Hashanah, a person says, kaichik siddhis. And I just brought him as an example, this podcast, because he he's talking not his fault. He's not familiar with siddhis. But unfortunately, we have within our circles, we have people who are applying to this.
good.
And they're makarev, like whatever says, not makarev on la toida, but they're makarev the toida, the siddhis, did it. That's a problem.
Yeah. So this has been a problem since Taylor was given, has been a problem. So we're doing, at least we're consistent. It's constant, but there's a conservative conform. Everybody's doing the same thing. And I... That's not shocking. The shocking thing is, I just want to add some different angle.
Both different dangers, and there's something you have to look out for.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Any final anything you want to add?
I have to add something. Well, let Michal go first.
I think we covered that. Yeah.
This is a good time to remind everyone. Tanya, the Alter Rebbe wrote Tanya, and it says Korba Lech Adom Hoy. That's the whole Tanya is based on that. So this is accessible. We just need to get into it, and we need to. If you don't understand, we need to speak to a Mashpia. We need to speak to someone who knows. We have to listen. We have to listen to people talking maybe a bit more warm today, but we have to bring back the real. Not bring back. That's what I'm saying. To teach undiluted Chassidus and understand that Chassidus is Nitzchi and applies in every matzav and in every situation, every environment.
Yeah. I think you found that right in the Agdom of Tanya, where he says that I'm going to put it down in a sefer, and realizing that not everybody can understand how to find the answer. He says he answers all the questions. He answers all the questions.
You have to go to,
and the people have to be able to. It's very important that there's an achrayus. Those that do have the clear understanding of undiluted siddhis should share that understanding, because there's so much confusion out there that we need the clarity.
Yeah. So what do you do when those people that do have the clarity and for whatever reason they say to go to Beis Nishborim, and so maybe that's what he meant. When I learned, I was told this means that every answer to your question in life is found here, and he was able to look forward, and because that's how he says the Chayyeh Yeshua Gevesen He was able to das of everybody. So, I want to finish with this thought. What is it? This is the Rebbe Rayatz writes that a person finds himself lost in the jungle. How does he find himself lost in the forest? He finds himself in the forest. A person is not born in a forest. How did he find himself there? So how did he get there? He was going to Derech HaMelech. And then he decided he's going to veer off a little bit. He's going to go on the shoulder. I'm paraphrasing. That's exact word for word. But, and then why? Because on the shoulder, he's still going on the same road. And then he chaps, well, I have to have a shoulder. I want to walk on the grass. And then he chaps on the grass. He'll walk in the forest, nice shade. And he can still see that the grass is there, the shoulder is there, and the road is there. He can still maintain a direction towards the ear. He's still centered, yeah? But after a while, if he keeps on doing this, he keeps on moving a little bit over, a little bit over, a little bit over, he'll get himself lost to the point where he doesn't know where, how to get to Eretz Yisrael. So what do you have to do? You have to get back on the road. You have to get back on the road that takes you there. We obviously are in a situation where people are lost. People are lost. We're lost in the forest. So the question is not to go further, deeper and deeper in the forest, or noch a patch, or noch a patch. Wie ist man angekommen daher? How do we get here? This is the real, I think, this is, how do we get to a point where all, do you imagine yourself when you were in 770 to have this conversation? I never did. Did you imagine yourself 20 years ago? Maybe, never. So how do we get here? The answer is not, again, think yourself, which is the first move you went out off the road? Where did you veer off? And then correct there and get back on the road.
It's a very complicated question. I think it's for another discussion.
I live in the world of simplicity. By me, I live in the world of simplicity. I mean, also say a poshet and was a zog. I try. You taste it, you see, there's nothing more geschmack than living a life of a year, nothing for mitzvahs, nothing more geschmack having a moon, you walk better darke, what are you looking for? Okay, I got Yom Tov for everybody. So I get benched. All the brachas. Thank you.
Yom Tov and I got your.
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah. Thank you.